This is the Masters. This has got to be on.
And that one's on. And it's moving. It takes a minute for this to kick in. We're on. Let me just double check. Yeah.
Good deal.
We're on.
It's 6 p.m. on Monday, November 27, 2017. We'll call the Village of Alloway Plan Commission meeting to order. We'll start with roll call. Wheeler?
Here.
Dart?
Here.
Kornowski is here. Rock?
Here.
Nyberg?
Here.
Moving on to item number 2, modify or adopt the existing agenda. If anybody has any changes, please let us know. Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Move to adopt the agenda.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Agenda moves forward. Item number 3, minutes from October 23rd, 2017. Those that were here, if you have any changes to the minutes, please let us know. Otherwise, we'll entertain a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes as they are.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Minutes carry. Item number 4, announcements. Are there any announcements from staff or commission?
Yeah, I just want to let everyone know we have two alternates, new alternates joining us, Jason Alberts and Matthew Hunnell. I haven't had the opportunity to meet Jason yet, but Matthew works for Somerville as an architect, so they'll be filling in, I'm sure, from time to time.
Great.
Last Tuesday night at the Village Board meeting, Dave Coles and Tom Vandehei came in to give an update on the Braeburn Condominium Project, which is at the Mariner Hotel. This is just the website that they have. Asked when they may be bringing it to Plan Commission, and it sounds like it could be January at so the earliest. But this is the project. It's just in concept. Obviously, there's a lot of work be done. No approvals have been given whatsoever. Obviously, because you haven't seen it.
It's on realtor.com.
Correct.
There. Some of the price point is
pretty up there.
Pretty heavy.
Well, and I was looking at the this here, and it said nothing over 4 stories, and they said that was going to be 6 stories. So is that something that's going to have to be approved?
To be approved. So they know that. They knew that up front.
Okay.
The renderings all look pretty neat from what's online. That's an ambitious project.
Yeah, so if you want to take a look at it, it's braeburncondos.com.
Can you... Oh, there. B-R-A-E.
Where exactly on Riverside Drive is that?
Right next to Schinner's.
Pardon?
Next to that CPA firm.
Schenck.
Oh.
Used to be the Mariner.
Oh, okay.
That's low
down there.
Do you know if they've gotten agreements for the Fox River Trail for...
This is all so preliminary right now.
Okay.
All they're doing is seeing if there's an interest in the market.
Okay. And they've had some interest. I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think you said
two of them on the top floor, aren't there?
Five of them, yeah.
And it's like half of the whole top floor on the person skating.
Yeah. Definitely look pretty neat.
So hopefully this will be a project that will be brought forth in due time.
Yeah. Cool. Any announcements from the commissioners? Anybody have any? Nothing good?
Nope.
I had a baby.
Oh. Congratulations. Yeah. You look really good.
Yeah, my second boy. So
Jack.
So I've got two under two.
Oh, my.
So it's a struggle.
A lot of crying going on.
Yeah. Yes.
You.
Yeah.
I'm the secretary with the Friends of the Fox River Trail, and we have a new website that's going to be unveiled on December 1st, and it will be at friendsfrt.org, and we are moving forward into the 20th century in our quest. So we'll have a website, be able to take online donations for projects.
What was the website again?
Friendsfrt.org. And it'll be live by December 1st. It's not, we're just finishing getting it together.
Good. Okay. Item number five, public appearances. If there's anybody from the public that'd like to address the commission, now is the time. Please state your name and address.
Jamal Burke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was the former co-chairman of the Bike Ped Committee in charge of pedestrian issues. Actually, I'd like to speak on three things tonight that are all on the agenda that are very, very important, that have been troubling the village for the past 3 years. And I'm just going to talk right now, and then if you want to ask me questions as the different items come up, you can go ahead and do that. tonight you're going to be asked to approve proposed changes to three village ordinances. I think that it's a bad idea to change ordinances without looking at the entire situation and the entire ordinance. We're going to be changing, trying to just modify ordinances to clean them up to, for example, the village it's been debated over the last 2 years whether the village has the right to go ahead and put apartments on commercial land, and the presentation given on November 7th by Trevor, he said that the village doesn't have to obey any zoning ordinances as long as they call it a planned development district. Okay, is that right? Pretty much.
Yeah. No.
Pretty much. Exactly. I listen. So, and I think that that analysis is completely wrong. I think that we have a zoning ordinance that you're supposed to comply with the zoning ordinance if at all possible, and the only time to use a planned development district is if you have a plan that meets the general guidelines of the zoning ordinance and can come up with a better solution than is allowed under the zoning. So you can change some setbacks and change some spacing of buildings, but you're not allowed to completely ignore the zoning ordinance simply because you don't like what's allowed. And so that comes in under a couple different items tonight, but specifically apartments are not allowed in commercial districts, and the old Chapel Hill PDD is an unlawful development. That's my opinion. So the village is trying to clean that up and say, well, we can go ahead and do it because now it's allowed under the underlying zoning. So if you want to change that to a conditional use, and if you're going to change it to a conditional, if you're going to allow apartments in a commercial area, you need to allow it for everybody, not as a conditional use. So it should be a right and not a village prerogative whether they like you or not. So there's a couple different places in the village that are zoned commercial that might want apartments on there. And you have, if you're going to make apartments available in commercial zoning, it has to be available to everybody, not just whether the village board likes you or not. The microbrewery has been added to this. I pointed out that, and it's not a big deal to me, I like the idea of the Zimbaldi project, but you're going to be putting in a microbrewery and a tap room instead of a brew pub. And the difference between a microbrewery and a tap room versus the brew pub that is allowed is that a brew pub would have better restaurant facilities of some kind. There's a reason why they're called something different. It's my understanding that the microbrewery and the tap room will have a parking spot for food trucks, which really doesn't count as a full restaurant. So if you want to allow food trucks, that's fine. But you're trying to just change the ordinance to fix problems that I've pointed out and that you've been struggling with for the last 2 years. So those are those two particular issues. Of most concern I have is that by changing the zoning ordinances now, after a project has been started, you're going to eliminate the right of the elderly and the disabled to have a sidewalk in front of the old Chapel Hill apartment complex. That's required. The village has told me it's not, but it is. If you're going to make a pedestrian accommodation, it's required that it be accessible to the handicapped. And the handicapped includes the elderly, and I believe the definition of handicapped is anybody who cannot walk 200 feet without stopping. I'm pretty sure that that's the definition. So you shouldn't be changing the zoning ordinances on two different projects just because it's been identified by a citizen that the projects don't comply with the law. So that's what's going to happen tonight, is the village has asked you to change the ordinances after projects are in the works. And if you're going to be calling these things planned development districts, for example, the apartments, which are fine, if the village wants those apartments there, that's fine. But they then have to comply with the planned development district laws, which require pedestrian accommodations, and those pedestrian accommodations in the original plans included a sidewalk in the front, and the comprehensive plan for the village included a arboretum trail, which by village standards now is being shifted down to a 5 or 7 foot sidewalk and not a full trail. But that is, that trail is now the final missing link. The village put in a sidewalk where they were supposed to put a trail in over here on East St. Joseph. And if you look at all of the documents on the West St. Joseph street project, there's supposed to be a trail, if not on both sides, at least on one side. And then the one side that is required would be in the planned development district on Old Chapel Hill. And the village has been in closed meetings renegotiating the developer agreement for the past 2 months. How many meetings have you had? Like four?
Two, I think.
Oh, no. In the last 2 months, 3 months, I think you've had at least four.
Sure.
I think you've had four closed meetings. So planning is going on in closed meetings instead of in front of this commission. And this is the plan commission. This is where people of the village should come and hear what's going to be going on in the village. Planning should be done in the planning in front of the plan commission and not in special TID district closed meetings. And then finally, if there are going to be meetings for the TID district, not in front of you, and they're involving economic development, because that's what shows up on the village budget, that's the purpose of those meetings. If it's involving economic development, We have another committee called the Economic Development Committee, which is also open to the public. So if you're going to be talking about TID districts, those meetings should be in front of the Economic Development Committee, and they should not be closed. So we're having too many closed meetings, especially on renegotiating a contract that was already done. And I think I said enough. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to item number 6, action regarding approval of amendment to Article 3 of Chapter 475 of the Village Ordinances District Regulations. The highlighted, it showed up highlighted for mine, and you guys have the, so the highlighted sections are what was discussed at the September meeting, if I understand correctly, and there were some things added to that. Throughout the time, I had a chance to look at the changes. For the sake of not being here in September, I don't know what that discussion was, but there, it doesn't look like there's anything out of bounds that was added. And, you know, short of doing a complete zoning ordinance overhaul, this is certainly a nice stopgap for us to be more flexible when we do have development interest. I don't know if you have any comments, Trevor.
Sure. The discussion at the September meeting included area. It's regarding the front yard setbacks. It was discussed. And I'm trying to find where. Okay, so on the third page here, under item C, area regulations, hold up here. There's except for the following, because it was discussed that 15 feet is still not close enough to the road. So under this process, through a conditional use permit, new developments could be located closer to the roadway through planning commission or planning board approval.
Okay, so under C1 and then except for the following is what you added, and then B?
Correct, then I added
okay.
B.
Okay.
Because I was wondering about the traditional neighborhood development is putting the buildings near the sidewalk and then having the parking
right
behind it, and so I was kind of wondering about that because this didn't seem to allow that kind of development, and that's what we're supposed to be wanting to.
So that addition should work, right, in your opinion?
Now that it explained, I was a little confused.
Sure.
Because I didn't, yeah. But
any recommendations on language to clarify is welcome too. The other thing I noticed when I was going back over today is on the fourth page, under item 3, obviously those items should be aligned with that 2I1, but also item 5 and 6 should be combined, similar to how it reads in subsection C, item 4.
I think I might have asked it before, and you might have answered it, but I'm still confused as to why dwelling units aren't permitted on the first floor if somebody wanted to put, you know, a dwelling unit on the first floor. Why are they not permitted?
This is that's just to promote more mixed-use development.
Right.
So if it was 100%... residential, then they would obviously be allowed to have residential units on the main floor.
Okay.
But if they're going to mix the components, it would be ideal to have. And I'm sure the market will carry it, will dictate this or influence it this way anyway. But to have commercial on the main floor to activate the street a little bit more on the sidewalks.
Okay.
One comment I did want to make, because there were assertions made via email and tonight here under public appearances, they were doing this somehow to circumvent or to write some past decisions made by the village As you know, that's not the intent of this. That's just this coincidence. I guess the only past decision that really influenced my decision in here is adding microbreweries as a conditional use in commercial. And that's just looking forward to the future. If another microbrewery wanted to come to the area, it just make it easier for them to locate rather than going through the PDD process.
I just wanted to add to that. I think when we added that a few years ago, the brew pub, we really weren't aware of the difference between a brew pub and a microbrewery. We
right.
wouldn't have. I mean, yeah, we probably just thought it was the same.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, is in order to refute some of those assertions, I just want to go on record as saying that I'm totally willing to promote or accept an ordinance removing microbrewery and or the multifamily subsection C on the fourth page component. And just allow the mixed use under conditional use. I don't want any intentions of the village questioned or any rumors to start. So if that simplifies things, I think that still accomplishes our main goal of conditional use, promoting mixed use development. Those developments obviously can go through the PDD process or a simple rezone, too. This way, we're still allowing for mixed use. Again, just to clarify, because I did give a presentation to the board on November 7th or whenever that was, but regarding the state statutes and past practices of PDDs and pretty much going through everything, and I thought it was fairly clear on what the state allows and that the PDD is actually part of our zoning code. It's not going around our zoning code. It is part of our zoning code. So the tool we're able to use, and we've used prior to me being here several times in the village, and then Green Bay uses it several times, and pedestrian access is not required. It's something that the state suggests you look at, but it's not specifically prescribed how pedestrian accommodations are in every development. So just wanted to clarify that for the record.
It's my understanding with the apartment complex that when Riverside Drive is rebuilt, there'll be pedestrian accommodations, and that same thing with St. Joseph when it's redone, that's going to be put in there. So, and I'm assuming that's why the developer wasn't required to put them in was because they were going to be part of the street projects when they're redone?
That's correct.
Trevor made a good point on that, too, when he made his presentation, and that was there'd be only that little hunk done, and if people are using that, it could be more dangerous with one little piece done than having it all done at once, because you're on your sidewalk, and all of a sudden there is no sidewalk. So I thought that was a good point.
On the back page, under number 5, it just says front yard. And I'm wondering if that goes with something else. I was confused as to why it was a half sentence.
Yeah, 5 and 6 should be combined to read how item number 4 is in subsection C. I just forgot to hit the lead one time and hit in.
So it should be front yard and side yard requirements shall conform to district standards?
Yes.
Okay.
So aside from the Scrivener's error, is there anything else that anybody sees on here that looks out of bounds? I agree with what you said, Trevor. I don't know that it necessarily makes a difference if the apartments are in or out, given that the precedent we've had is if a project comes forward, we can look at different avenues of presenting it to this public body and to the village board. So whether it's conditional use, a planned development district, it's not going to stop a project if it's warranted. So I'm indifferent to leaving it in or out. I don't see why we would make it a case. We can wait until an actual proposal is put forward to look at the whether or not it meets the criteria or the direction that we have for that area.
Trevor, I have a question.
Sure.
Under C front yards, I think it's on page 2 or 3.
Sure.
Area regulations, front yards, subsection 8 says lots comprising 40%, except for the following, lots that are 40% more of the frontage on one side of a block is out for a corner. So.
That's for, it's more taking the average, so you don't have buildings with varying setbacks. Okay.
It's a smoothing mechanism.
Mm-hmm. And to that point, that's actually a very good point about the pump house, that, you know, modifying or even deleting the dwelling units are not permitted below the second floor. I mean, either modify that or just delete that.
I guess, the market can kind of dictate where the market sees fit of having a dwelling unit in a certain circumstance. Because there may be circumstances where the first floor could be residential and the second floor could be some sort of commercial use.
Mm-hmm.
It's not typical, but it could happen. As long as the commercial use isn't a high traffic type use or it's not, you know, invasive to the people below. I take that back. I lived beneath a dog grooming business when I lived in Illinois for a few months. It was terrible.
It's like wet dog.
Yeah. Barking constantly.
Barking and wet dogs, right?
Yeah. But, I don't know. That's a tough one there, because once you allow the commercial use on top, how do you regulate what use can go on top of residence?
More common would be the homes that the older homes on Webster Avenue, near Webster Avenue Market,
yeah.
They have a shop in the front and then a two-story in the back. So you have, you know, bedrooms upstairs, you have the kitchen, you know, the old mom-and-pop things. So there's buildings already on Webster Avenue.
What do you guys think? What do you think?
I questioned it. I mean, that, like I said, that if you want to have a dwelling unit in the back, that it would be up to the owner, that it would have to be compatible.
Yeah.
But I just kind of wondered why that was even in there.
Sure.
Well, the old pump house isn't even two stories, is it?
No.
So.
Depending on the development.
Yes.
I don't know, I think it might be good to leave it in more of a general state rather than trying to regulate things that we don't see or don't know about, and given that we have the authority to discuss those when the time comes. We don't know what we might be asked. Yeah. So rather than try and, you know, I'm okay with it. I mean, we've seen it before, or I've seen it before, and I'm okay with having it be just the way it is.
Yeah, so we don't want to preclude the possibility of a dwelling unit being on the first floor in commercial land. So we could change the language, but still, the thing that I'd worry about is getting into a use fight over the type of use that would go above a residence. Because once it is designated as being able to have a commercial use on top of a residential use, you know, that opens up a whole lot of different businesses that could go into that type of location. Well, that's for something in the future, I guess, to sort out, but could be detrimental to the residents. What do you guys think? Do you want to preclude that language and just look at it as they come? Rather than,
yeah, I'm indifferent either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll just open it up. If somebody comes to us with a use that they have a residence on the first floor and commercial in the back or on top, we'll look at it. Is that okay? What do you guys think?
So you're saying leave it in there, do not leave anything?
Right, I think that's what we're...
And then if something comes forward, I mean, you always have the PDD option, too.
Right. Okay. I'm good with that, if you guys are.
Is the pump house already a PDD?
No. It has not been rezoned yet.
Okay. So then we're going to have to do that right away.
Thinking of that, when we rezone it, is that going to be a problem? Because the issue is it's one floor. Plans on using the level.
It doesn't match the language.
Mixed use.
Because it's the same story.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't live below the second floor.
Maybe something with the exception of existing single story buildings. Yeah, then.
I think we should just take the language out, honestly.
Yeah. I'm with Becky.
I'm fine with that, too. I mean, I think we're all pretty indifferent, too. We'll see these projects come forward. I don't think it's going to stop a project from coming to us if it's warranted. We can talk about it. I'm good with that. Do you guys are?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think most people, if they would have a building they want to use for mixed use, they're not going to want the business upstairs. They're going to want it for convenience downstairs. It just seems to make sense.
Yeah, it's not logical to have.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Are there any other comments, or I'll entertain a motion to approve with the change that we gave Trevor and the also the scrivener's error on the last page. You'll fix that.
Oh, a second.
Got it.
There's the changes.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. It's approved. Thank you, Trevor. Thank you for the work there. Item number 7, action regarding approval of amendment to Article... Is that a 6? Yep.
7.
I'm sorry.
7.
Of Chapter 475 of the Village Ordinances, Conditional Uses. This is the next one.
So you're just amending the application process and adding some things?
Essentially, yeah.
In your professional opinion, is this... Is this too much for somebody that maybe has a good idea but not a ton of resources at the start of the project?
If that'd be across from them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's only 3 of these things that are currently in there?
Correct. These are things that are required by other municipalities. But my concern would be to have a project come forward and we're not able to require, you know, if we do want the information. However, I don't know if it's necessarily important to have on every circumstance. So
I know there have been times in the past where we've, you know, it's been a concern of the commission that we didn't have enough information, you know, to make an educated decision or, you know, the right choice. So I don't know if it's asking for a lot, but if someone has gone this far and is asking for a conditional use permit to do something, to build something, wouldn't they be far enough along in the process to be able to give us a map and some elevations and some landscaping plans? We're not saying what the landscaping plan has to look like. I don't know. I'm just saying it seems like we didn't have enough before. And so.
Right. This is kind of the catalog and presenting it to you, yeah. So you can see what mm-hmm. a lot of bigger municipalities require, and with the assumption that you might want to scale it back a little bit. But.
Yeah,
was
maybe.
That
yeah.
coffee shop? Remember, there's supposed to be a coffee shop on. It never came to fruition. Anyway, no. But her resources were not the thing. If she had to do all of these things, wasn't that a conditional use?
Yeah, that was a zoning change.
Okay.
So even more, that's even a bigger deal. Than a conditional use, a zoning change. I mean, that's a.
It seems like if it's a smaller project and someone has to go through all of this, that's a lot. It could be expensive to get all this stuff, couldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't. It's not saying that it has to be signed and stamped in these documents, so. You know, some of this stuff you can probably put together in an Excel worksheet, but then what value does it really have?
Right.
You know, what's the...
Yeah, and there might be a couple of things. I'm having second thoughts about saying, yeah, let's put it all in there. I mean, tentative stormwater and erosion control plan.
Yeah.
I mean, someone who wants to propose a coffee shop isn't going to do that. I mean, I think it's appropriate to have a current survey and maybe some examples of what it's going to look like and some comment about landscaping.
Remind me on the process, and I'm sorry I forgot, but so site plan review would come into play when through the conditional use process, if at all?
It could happen concurrently or afterwards.
Right now, so you have it happening with the application instead of
right. Yeah.
When is it normally coming to play now? If somebody's
currently right now, it would be afterwards.
Okay. So they would apply, and then the applicator, the site plan, would be for the next step.
Or it could happen concurrently right now.
Okay.
But it is required
for new buildings or alterations to existing buildings.
Okay.
So if they're just doing a build out of a existing structure and not adding on, remodeling the existing structure and not adding on, that would not require a site plan.
So with your West Dallas example, do you know if they require the site plan to be at the same time as the conditional use application?
They do. Yeah.
Okay, so this is site plan. So we separate it. Or you don't have to, it's up to you. But they're required to be together?
Yes. And another alternative to this could be moving some of these things to the site plan review process. So that we're ensuring that they do get done at some point.
I think it's a lot to ask up front, because what if we say no?
You know, if you say no, they spend time, money, and energy.
Yeah, because it's the use, you know, and that's where I struggle sometimes with this body. Not with you, but with this body's decision-making. If this is the use, mm-hmm. a lot of the stuff on here, you guys need time to hash out, and you're going to have it right before it would come to us anyway. So
a lot of our decisions are made, you know, contingent on, you know, engineering studies or
right.
the approval of the stormwater and erosion control right. plan, for example. Now, we don't need to have somebody show that to us. All we need to have them agree to is that they'll provide one
right.
at the right time, and we just put that in our motion.
Yeah.
So some of these could be, I mean, it's good to know, to have a drawing of what of an elevation to see what it's going to look like, see what the structure is going to look like. Nothing wrong with having a survey. A map showing easements, and those are things we maybe ought to look at up front.
Or you increase the filing fee and have staff do it, because you have access to most of this.
Mm-hmm.
What's the filing fee right now?
Conditional use, I think it's 150 or 200. Something that West Dallas did that I did not do is they included what was required in their application in the actual zoning ordinance. I don't necessarily like to do that, and that's not common practice with a lot of other planners around here. Only because then if you want to change your application, then you have to change your zoning code. So
yeah.
It makes it cumbersome.
So we are opening up a lot more conditional uses with what we approved in the previous agenda item. Anything invasive is going to require a site plan. How long does the conditional use last? They have to start construction within...
I think it's 6 months.
Start construction within 6 months or have board approval within 6 months?
Yeah, so for section 475-60, relocation... There's a, in the event the conditional use is not made of the premises within 6 months after the approval of the condition, there's a discontinuance of such conditional use.
So a construction schedule, I mean, you're going to have it done in a year, it's going to get revoked. So we know the project's always going to be done within a year, otherwise it's like a coffee shop, so it's not going to happen here either. Do we want to go through and decide what we want to keep or what, or if we want to make any changes, if we believe that we have a problem?
Just go through each one and just...
I guess, yeah, I don't know what else to do. So the first one, that's done. We already require that written statement to the village board. We already have that. Filing fee, we already have that. Current property survey, is that necessary? I don't know that it is at the outset. I don't know if somebody needs to get a property survey. Plus, you know, I guess you can probably... Can you find one online through the county?
They have the plat maps. Yeah, so I mean, they could have a plat map that was not going to show... easements, so I can see it like a CSM or a certified survey map.
I'm not, I guess...
That could be down the line, too.
If you think about us, are we really interested in looking at the survey, or more interested in what the project is?
That's initially, that's really...
Yeah, so are we okay with getting rid of the survey?
Yep.
Scaled site plan, maybe we just...
I think that might not be too bad.
No, I don't think that's bad either, but do we want to just take out the word scaled?
Okay, so
you
have
to
site plan.
Right.
Site plan.
Probably get somewhere else. Foundation of structures.
since we're not requiring a stamp or an architect, we might get some elevations that people do themselves, probably. I think it's good to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But the quality of what we're going to get might not be great. If it's a well-financed project, it might be really good. So I guess if we just keep it elevations of structures and come with whatever you have, mm-hmm. that's probably fine, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. and whatever we are given may give us some insights
right.
into, you know.
If we're going to give them a conditional use,
then they can get the paper. Yeah, it might help us in our decision-making process,
yeah.
you know, to see the, you know.
I'm good with that.
The
Paul's construction schedule.
I'd
say that's fine.
I
don't know if it matters. They can.
Paul's looking changed.
Yeah, they can. We can keep that. It doesn't have to be anything. We're not. It's not going to be contingent, or it's not going to be a qualification or anything, so they can keep that straight on the napkin. Examples of proposed exterior materials. You know, that's...
That's something that's required in site plan design review, so...
Yeah, should we take that out? It's design review site plan. Landscaping plan, yeah, and that site plan review, is everybody okay with omitting
yep.
that?
Okay.
Map showing existing and proposed topography. Probably all will take a look at the property before it comes to us visually, so we probably eliminate that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get aerial photography. Map showing all easements. Again, would that be part of site plan review? I don't know if the conditional use is going to be affected by an easement that runs through the property, so I think you can omit that. Everybody's okay with that.
But shouldn't they know that ahead of time?
They should. They should. But we'll catch them, and we'll already have a $150 filing fee. So.
Okay.
You know, it's not like we'll be out of here.
There you go.
Map showing adjacent properties and owners. We can look at that at the meeting on the overhead. I don't know if we need them to print off more paper. Tentative signage and lighting plans, I think that's probably site plan review. I mean, that's pretty regulated, so
mm-hmm.
not necessary. Stormwater and erosion, get rid of that. And then I think we keep other reports and studies as requested by the village.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we commit that. So did you get all that, Trevor?
Yes. And then as far as the language itself, okay with keeping that, or
no, I didn't see anything out of Mom's.
I'm okay with it.
Okay, if there's no other comments, I will entertain a motion to approve with the omitted items from Trevor's memo.
Motion to approve the except for the omitted items.
Second.
So motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Approved. Thank you. Item number 8, action regarding approval of amendment to Chapter 248 of the Village Ordinances, Historic Preservation. I don't know if, Howard, if you want to maybe say something about this, the Historic Preservation Committee.
Well, Trevor's given us a history here. You know, we looked at it a year ago and we kind of talked ourselves out of making any changes. And then as the year progressed, we came closer and closer to actually, you know, preparing nomination papers and going through the process for for the Miramar district. And we were concerned about people reading this ordinance and thinking that if they became, you know, part of a district that was included in the National Register, they'd have to apply, they'd have to follow all these guidelines. And all we wanted to do was to say no. I think that that's not really what this was intended to do. And so, two things. There's an introductory addition to the first paragraph, 424-1, which, you know, says what this ordinance is for. and it's for the village to have some guidelines to designate something locally historic. And it doesn't, and sites placed on the national, on the state or national register are not automatically considered locally designated and are not immediately subject to the same controls and restrictions and outlines in this ordinance. And I think that was put there to put people's minds at ease. They start reading this and they read that and they say, okay, fine. You know, we didn't want to have people being concerned.
Okay, so what you guys are doing with national designation does not necessarily mean local designation,
right,
which triggers our ordinances.
And it was ambiguous before, and it didn't say that you didn't have to follow these guidelines if you were on the national register. And so what Trevor did, aside from that, we kind of wordsmithed a paragraph, the first one there, and kind of set the tone. And Trevor just went through and crossed off any reference to state or national register in here, so that it's clear that their certificate of appropriateness and all the other items, regulation of construction, and all of that has to do with locally designated sites. And to my knowledge, there's only one in the village. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's in
Yeah, and we don't have a plan to do any others. So it was to get rid of or remove some ambiguity so people weren't anxious about it. Because up to that point, up till now, we've had positive response. We had a lot of public hearings, and the Miramar district was enthusiastic, and they're going to be, the nomination process is going to be reviewed on December 1st, I think.
Correct.
In Milwaukee, you know, to approve or not approve. So we just didn't want any anxieties.
Is the Historic Preservation Committee, did they recommend approval?
Yeah, we met and recommended the changes that you see in yellow here.
Anybody have any comments? Okay. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
There we go.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved. That's all. Number 9, discussion regarding noticing requirements for proposed projects. What's that all about, Trevor?
Just real quick, I guess, explanation or background where this came from. It was brought up by a resident a few meetings ago, just asking we take a look at what our noticing requirements are and possibly review them and try to make them more, I guess, apparent to the public somehow. So I printed off a sheet, and this comes from the zoning. It's a 200-page document put out by Center for Land Use Education. It's the Handbook for Zoning Boards. And on page 31, it kind of just breaks down what's required. So a village or town, you have to post within 1 week, which means that you display in 3 public places. I believe recently there's a change to state legislation that said a few websites could count as a public place. So we do that, but then all zoning changes require a Class 2 notice, so 2 newspaper publications, 1 a week for 2 weeks leading up to the decision. So that's what's required by us. We typically will do through a zoning process like PDD. The public hearing or the Class 2 notice is only required for the public hearing portion, so at the very tail end of the project. What we do is we notify the residents through what we call informational notice, and we mail those same residents that would receive a public hearing and advise them of all the different meetings throughout the process. So preliminary, plan commission, preliminary board, final plan commission, and then obviously for the public hearing for the village board. I think it was discussed also maybe extending the 200 feet requirement to 500 feet or something like that.
Because I was at the meeting that the woman came forward, and that was her contention, was that, you know, it should be wider notice to the residents that are close to a project than just like 100 feet. That she lived like a block and a half away but felt she'd be affected by it and wanted to know if we could widen that area of notice.
Yeah, and I think the discussion also was that, you know, a couple hundred feet could only be one or two residences away from the site, and, you know, maybe, and I think the feeling was that wasn't broad enough, wasn't wide enough.
One thing to point out, the reason the resident that brought this up was affected by zoning language amendment, so we wouldn't notify any property owners in that regard. It would have had effect on the billboard. It was, you know, 1,000 feet from her house, but it was, so I guess there's that too to consider. But I just wanted to bring this up. I can bring back what other municipalities do. This is something just to think about. I don't think it's, we've been doing this forever. We added the informational notice process a few years back. It cost us a few cents in postage, but I'll reach out to what other municipalities do, and I can report back to the planning commission that if you're comfortable with that.
Don't you want to be an innovator? Okay. Yeah, this is, you can give recommendations. This certainly is a policy decision that the village board is going to have to do some deliberating on. So. Yeah. Just Twitter it.
Yeah. Eventually, I think.
Yeah. It has to. I mean, this is so archaic.
Right.
Three public places and circling the newspaper. Jim's the only one looking at the newspaper. So, okay. All right. Are we good on that one? Let's come get Trevor to come in.
Yep.
Number 10, discussion regarding village projects and properties update. Anything good?
On Riverside Drive, the crosswalk has been painted, and now we're just waiting for the DOT to come in and the contractor to come in and install the rest of the crossing. So, looking forward to that project getting completed. Another update would be the village board has allocated half, or what we think might be half, hopefully it's the whole cost, to look at our zoning that we've been talking about for a few years.
The code?
The code, yep. So $30,000 have been allocated in 2018 to start the rewrite. So.
Sure.
So what we'll probably be bringing back, hopefully in the next meeting or two, the RFP that we'll put together that will be going out, just to make sure that you're comfortable with the verbiage and what we're looking for, and make sure that it correlates to what you're looking for in the RFP.
Did the surgery center, is that completely a no-go now?
It's on hold. It's been probably 3 to 4 months since we've spoken with them, and it's, at this point it's just been put on hold.
There was some kind of changes to the type of work they could do, I thought, on that site, and made it maybe not feasible to do it in that location. Was that kind of where I heard? I don't know if I heard it here or not. It's like new regulations from the industry or from their profession that made it more difficult or more costly or whatever to do what they wanted to do at that site because of the, for whatever reason.
Right, and I don't know exactly what now is required or wasn't before, but you're right. So it's an industry standard or new regulation that is put forward beyond village authority that is tied up the project. That
kind of touched a little bit on it, but the pump house should be closing sometime in December. I haven't seen the exact date of the closing, but looking forward to that being completed and being occupied. So that's all I have.
Did the building on Webster by Purveya get torn down? Is that gone now?
Good question. No, not yet.
Not yet.
We spent part of the day today working on the RFP for raising, and want to just make sure that we have everything covered in there for any of the environmentals that could be associated with it, and make sure the village has got the proper coverage.
Okay.
So hopefully that will go out within the next couple days.
Just curious, because I've done that before, are you going to have them restore the area with seed? With grass seed, or what are you going to do? Leave
yes,
it?
Yes, correct.
Grass seed?
Correct.
It actually sometimes comes back cheaper than what you think for somebody to come in and knock a building down. It's crazy, especially if you let them keep the scrap. That one's kind of a disgusting one.
I was going to say, it's kind of rotted for scrap.
One of us sorting through it. Okay, any other updates? Item number 11, discussion regarding standing committees. Any committee updates that are pertinent?
And the Parks Committee hasn't been anything for a week or a month. No, I don't have anything. Public Works did not meet in November. I guess probably one of the things that will affect the village, our Public Works Director will be retiring after the first of the year, probably around March, April. So we'll be doing that search, so I've been working on that as well. I guess that's a major change. About it, I guess.
He wrote everything down that he knows, right? Into a book or something.
And is the sidewalk on Web or the by Webster School still moving forward? Did all the permits and everything get done for that?
Is it across the school one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, great. Item number 12, next meeting date and future agenda items. So, what is Christmas this year?
The meeting date.
Okay, it is.
The 25th.
Is Christmas a Monday? Okay. So, probably want to move that.
And I don't know if you want me to move it to the 18th or if you want to.
New Year's Day?
Yeah, let's do New Year's Day instead. Yeah.
What did we do last year? Do you guys remember?
I think we skipped
it. I think we did. I seem to remember is that we skipped the December meeting last year. Just went to the end of January. Unless there was a project that needed approval.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if there's is there anything pressing that's going to be on that agenda?
You'd probably find out within the next few weeks, huh? Next couple of weeks if there would be anything. And we could probably do a special meeting the second week of January if it was necessary. But there's not a lot of submittals coming in mid-December, I don't think.
Not right now.
Probably wait till the end of the year. Or after the end of the year. So if everybody's okay with it, I'm okay with skipping the December meeting, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
leave it open.
Yeah. If you did need an earlier meeting, I'm not available on January 15th. But other than that,
okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move to adjourn.
I'll second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? We are adjourned. Happy holidays. Let's see everybody until after all of them are over.
Goes fast.
Yeah.
to stop this thing.
Work the cord up. Sorry.
I was not ready.
Did I say that out loud?
Got it?
Still on.